En W Fin de Semana encontramos una historia particular. Él es David A. Lyndon, nuestro próximo invitado que Charlie va a saludar en los próximos minutos. Y que Cata, ojo a esta historia, su Lego microscópico desafía lo imposible. Sí, él hace Lego microscópico. ¿Cómo lo hace? No tengo ni idea. Pero sí, lo que le digo es que es el artista en miniatura más grande del mundo y poseedor de un récord Guinness. Charlie, salúdelo, por favor.
Hello, Mr. David. Thank you so much for being with us at W Radio Colombia. Welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to chat to you.
Bueno, pregúntele cuándo, o sea, ¿por qué se le ocurre esta idea de trabajar con figuras mini, tan mini, microscópicas?
Mr. David, so my colleague wants to ask you, why do you think, or why did it occur to you to work with microscopic figures?
I was first inspired by watching a TV program about Willard Wigan and the challenges he faced. And that changed my life. And having been trained to work on small, complex devices, I developed steady hands and a good deal of patience. And I knew that I wanted to test myself and I wanted to push myself and make smaller and smaller things, something perhaps smaller than anybody else. So I was inspired by Willard Wigan, who's now become a great friend of mine.
Bueno, él se inspiró viendo un programa de televisión que cambió su vida por un personaje que hoy en día es su amigo de hecho y trabajó bastante. Trabajó para tener manos firmes, para tener un pulso muy, muy bueno, para tener paciencia sobre todo, y él quiso ponerse a prueba, presionarse y hacer cada vez figuras más pequeñas. Yo quiero preguntarle a David, ¿cómo es que uno puede hacer un Lego que funcionan como partes de un todo, un Lego tan pequeñito? Porque eso deben ser con pincitas, con cómo funciona exactamente la técnica.
Con depilador.
Sí. Mr. David, so taking into account your previous answer, we want to know, how can you make a Lego figure so small? Because a Lego figure usually goes with a big a huge figure, but how can you make this? What's the technique?
The technique. Well, I use my own special precision tools and techniques that I've been crafting over the years. I start off with a microscope. You have to use a very powerful microscope. Now, my microscope, it's a Nikon SMZ25. It's a high-resolution, high-magnification stereo microscope. Now, it's quite special. It's top of the range. It's got a brilliant optical system, and I control it with my feet. So I've got a foot pedal that allows me to zoom in and out. And this particular feature enables me to hold my precision micro tools by my hand underneath the microscope and without the need to remove them to refocus and to re-zoom. So you've got to have the right microscope, and then you've got to have the right tools. I use my own special precision tools and techniques I've been crafting over the years. I mount microblading needles onto the ends of instrument screwdrivers. And then with around 60 of these hand tools, I mount microscopic attachments to the tips of the microblading needles. So all the tools I use, they're quite varied, but the silicon carbide is something I quite often use. I get some, which is also known as carborundum, which is the second hardest material to diamond. So these tools I use for cutting, carving, gouging and shaping. Other tools I've got, like very, very fine hairs and little hooks. I mean, I use them for painting and holding and manipulating the art. So I've got a variety of attachments, from drills, saws, tweezers. In fact, it's like a micro toolbox. Everything you've got in your garage at home, I've got, but on a microscopic scale. But they're so delicate, I've got to keep remaking them because they keep breaking. So you've got to have the right tools, the right materials, and the right equipment. And, of course, you've got to have the talent and the skill to create art. The same as a masterpiece, the same as a sculpture or painting, but I've got to be able to shrink it down and get it into the eye of a needle. And that really takes some doing. I'm going to push my body to extremes.
Of course. Nos dice que él utiliza sus propias herramientas y técnicas especiales que él mismo él ha creado y ha perfeccionado a lo largo de los años. Él tiene un microscopio muy potente, de alta resolución y gran aumento, que controla con los pies. Él tiene un pedal que con el pie puede hacer zoom, puede agrandar la imagen y puede también empequeñecerla, y pone la de mano debajo del microscopio. ¿Qué le beneficia a esto? Que así él no tiene que mover el microscopio con las manos, sino que lo controla con los pies. Y las manos se encarga para usar las agujas, los accesorios que tiene para cortar, tallar, dar forma, emparejar, sujetar y sí, darle forma a este Lego. ¿Qué es lo que pasa? Él nos dice que básicamente él tiene en sus herramientas cualquier herramienta que cualquier persona pueda tener en su garaje, pero lo tiene en tamaño microscópico. Uh-huh. Y por supuesto, todo esto tiene que ser acompañado de mucho talento.
Vea, Charlie, yo quisiera que nos contara la experiencia de su primera escultura, porque él lo contó que se le había perdido, que era tan pequeñita que se le había perdido en la alfombra de su casa. ¿Cómo fue eso?
Mr. David, we want to know about your experience of your first sculpture, because we understand that you lost it in your house, in the rug of your house. How was that?
Yes. One of my first sculptures that I made was Amy Winehouse, and she's still somewhere in our bedroom carpet, or stuck on the sole of my shoe. I never found her. So luckily, my concentration has improved, which enables me to sit still for long periods of time. So each piece can take months to get right. There are certain hazards when you make this art. All too often, I've lost a piece by accidentally squishing it or moving it around. They're very, very delicate. So static electricity can snap the art away as if by magic. I can blow it away with a cough or sneeze. Once you lose sight of it, they are so tiny. When it's under the microscope, I can see it. I know where it is. But if I lose sight of it, if static electricity can zap it away, or a cough or a sneeze, once it goes out from under, once it disappears out from my sight, I can be on my hands and knees in the middle of the night with a magnifying glass and a flashlight, and I can spend hours trying to find it. I'll probably never find it again. I mean, Amy Winehouse has gone. Amy Winehouse, I lost her. She never found her. Unfortunately, in 2023, I was painting Picasso's Weeping Woman, and I unfortunately, I ripped her into pieces when I was on. It was such a, I think I must have brushed my two little painting brushes together, and they crashed and they ripped the little painting into pieces. My heart filled with despair. Very, very slowly, very, very carefully, I managed to find the bits and pieces of this wonderful painting, and I stitched her back together like a surgeon working on an operating table. And eventually, when she was prepared and put back together, I think she's one of the best paintings I've ever created. So my hands still jump a little because I have to work between heartbeats. Literally, yes. I have to work in a rhythm between each pulse to paint.
Bueno, Cata nos dice que fue uno de los primeros, como usted dice, que fue Amy Winehouse, y se le perdió o en la alfombra o en la suela de su zapato. Él no sabe porque básicamente no la encuentra. ¿Qué es lo que pasa? Cada pieza es microscópica, cada pieza puede tardar meses en quedar bien y son muy delicadas. Cualquier movimiento en falso que él haga, toser, estornudar, inclusive respirar y soplar, eso significa que la pieza puede salir volando y se pierde. Y al final nos dice algo muy interesante que tiene que ver con lo de la pieza. Él tiene que trabajar entre latidos del corazón, porque cualquier movimiento en brusco o en falso hace que la pieza se pierda. Con el microscopio, él perfectamente ve la pieza y demás, pero si por un segundo la pierde y se está en otra parte, puede pasar muchísimo tiempo antes de que la encuentre. Él puede estar en rodillas, en el medio de la noche, tratando de encontrarla, y lastimosamente a Amy Winehouse la perdió. Pero en 2023, él nos cuenta que él hizo o recreó la obra de Pablo Picasso, que se llama La Mujer que Llora, que es fascinante, y nos dice que él lastimosamente arruinó la obra por uno de estos accidentes que se rompió, pero pudo recuperarla y como un cirujano la colocó de nuevo junto.
A mí sí me gustaría saber eso como qué siente al ver que sus obras están expuestas en los teatros, en los museos de Nueva York, en Londres, en Tokio. ¿Qué ha sentido que todo el mundo conozca sus obras de esta forma?
Mr. David, how does it feel to see that your works are exhibited in museums in New York, London, all over the world, and people really admire your work?
It's amazing. One minute I'm working away quietly, and the next minute I painted a Dalmatian for my daughter, and I put the Dalmatian, which is actually not painted, I sculptured a Dalmatian, and I put this Dalmatian inside the Ivory Needle. Now, I gave this to my daughter, and I put this online, and the whole world, back in 2019, so I put this out on social media, and then it became like an internet sensation, and that really kick-started my career. How does it make me feel? I don't like doing it. I find it's very hard, very tiring. But what I do like is when it's finished, when whatever I'm working on, when it's finished, when I show people and they see it in real life, or they see the high quality, high definition images, when they see it, that's when I get a big buzz. I'm so relieved when it's finished. It's safe, it's secure, it's inside a display cabinet, or it's inside the Ivory Needle, and it's safe. But when it's finished, that's when I'm able to relax. The Dalmatian dog. That's when I first got noticed, and I've done quite a few world firsts. From my first micro masterpiece paintings, I created a set of micro masterpieces from Starry Night, from Edvard Munch, The Scream. I made six of these paintings, all different paintings, and they sold even before my first exhibition. That was amazing, and then I was featured in over 15 countries in 24 hours. All over the world. I'm very, very thankful. I'm just very pleased that people enjoy my art and take such delight in seeing it and appreciating it and appreciating how it's made. I have to push my body to extreme limits to create this art. I have to push down every emotion, every fiber of my body. I've got to control every single movement because these are so small. These are microscopic. A tiny, tiny flick from one of my micro tools when I'm painting or sculpting, a tiny flick, and I can wreck it. So I have to control every nerve and every fibre of my body. I have to work at night. If I have to close the windows, I have to close the curtains because a gust of wind can blow it away. Passing traffic can make the microscope and the art shake. Just on a micro level, it's like a mini tremor as a bus goes by. So I have to wait until it's nice and quiet, until the house is quiet. I have to settle myself down and work at night, and I have to push down every emotion. I've almost got to turn myself into a zombie sat mm-hmm. at the microscope. Mm-hmm. It's a real... And I've got to slow my heartbeat down mm-hmm. so much. I had a medical procedure the other day. I was potentially life-changing. No, maybe it saved my life. So I've had this thing done. Brilliant. I was in recovery. I was coming around, and I was wired up to these machines. And every now and again, the nurse kept coming over because the alarms kept going off. My heart, my pulse, it was so low, she kept coming over to make sure that I was okay. And I said, look, it's fine. This is my body. I'm able to slow my heartbeat down. I have a very low pulse because I need to control my fingers. I push my fingers together so hard to stop them jumping. But I have to control my body. I have to slow my heartbeat down and literally work between heartbeats to create this art.
Well, Mr. David, thank you so much for being with us at W Radio Colombia. Good luck with your work, and it's a fascinating story.
Thank you very much indeed. Check me out on social media, davidalinden.com, and on Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bueno, Rafa nos dice que es asombroso todo lo que le está pasando, porque un minuto él está trabajando en silencio, él hizo un dálmata para su hija, coloca esto en línea en 2019 y se convierte en la sensación de internet, y eso hizo que arrancara su carrera. Pero el trabajo es muy duro, es agotador. durante el trabajo no le gusta, porque mire todo lo que tiene que hacer. Tiene que llevar su cuerpo al límite, tiene que controlar cada emoción, cada fibra, cada movimiento, porque cualquier cosita puede destrozar su obra. Cada nervio, tiene que trabajar por las noches, cerrar las ventanas para que no entre la brisa. También trabajar en una hora de mucho silencio, porque el tráfico, el sonido que manda eso, puede hacer temblar su obra. Entonces él dice, básicamente tengo que convertirme en un zombie, y eso es muy agotador. Él no lo disfruta mucho. Cuando se termina la obra, cuando ya está asegurada y cuando la gente la disfruta, ahí es cuando es capaz de relajarse y disfrutar muchísimo de lo que él hace.